Blog Talk Radio.
The opinions expressed during this show are those of the host and or guests, and not necessarily those of AMC Press and Company's affiliates and sponsors. Language and content may be found inappropriate for minors, therefore, listener discretion is advised.
Hello, everyone. It's Allison here, and we're at Peg with our...
Hello.
With tonight's show... An only episode, yes, I can speak. Tonight, a series of T-Theory along with Best Western, which will be found at amcpress.me/affiliates. And now, let's get ready for the fun talking about nature versus nurture, which, yes, you might think that we're going to take this a little bit serious and weigh in with our own opinions on this subject at hand. So let's get going.
Well, sort of. I mean, nature versus nurture. Who can argue the nature versus nurture in terms of a female psychopath versus a male psychopath? Could you imagine when you're 5 years old, the nature versus nurture psychopath saying, "I smell the trees, the nurture. Come here, let me beat you up." It's a carrot.
It's fine.
But
also you could take place is the whole animal abuse, the fall going and taking and really just massacring, like, that's what happens. Those who have taken psychology could also know that there's key components to it as well.
To that whole,
yes,
what makes a psychopath.
And the typical psychopath can be found almost anywhere. Imagine we have a blackboard in front of us. This is going to take us all night. Let's just say the hour. Well, the hour,
yes,
being the hour being the most operative word. The fact that we have psychopaths in our lives. What can sociopaths teach us about ourselves? Well, one, that we're not really crazy. Two, you know, the most popular jobs, which we'll get into later in the show, include on the lowest rates, a caterer, a care aide, a nurse, a therapist, a craftsperson, a beautician, stylist. Now, I happen to rank them on the higher, because they do tend to go crazy. A charity worker, a teacher, same thing, they tend to go crazy. A creative artist.
They also could
I should know. I'm one of those people. A doctor, I'm not an MS, and an accountant. Now, an accountant who's crazy with numbers. We're in trouble.
At least with numbers, they could keep their checkbook straight. You could be the manager.
Yeah, that may be true. But
depends on if they're just how crazy they are. No one's really normal.
Well, nobody's really normal, but then
extreme.
You know, one of my characters and one of my players says, well, we're all we're all not normal if you look under the microscope, aren't we? And she's right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's right. But then again, she was a mother. Some mothers are psychopaths, so I'm not going to argue with that. But let's hope that your mom isn't. So we also come to those who are just tuning in to tonight's show. We have covered the things for tonight regarding affiliates and their Best Western, as well as T-Fury. And just think, if you're anywhere near the subject we're talking about, you could be staying at a Best Western right now and tuning in, listening on the net and saying, "Oh my God, I'm just like them." And then going over to the internet and going to the chief here site, but because you have our code, you'll actually get a discount, which is good.
Yes.
But then, I mean, also the nature versus nurture aspect of a psychopath, let's just go back to that for a second. You know, there's this argument that behavioral psychiatrists, that psychopaths are set apart and they differ from the temperament of other children and are at greater risk for delinquency. What do you think about this, Allison?
I more or less think that there could be I could see that, yes, people could, there's some elements where for those in the medical profession and going to school could be, like, students actually not being social along with, it could end up being with, like, killing animals, like.
But the fact is, I mean, the fact is that adolescents who measure high on the psychopathic screening device are show reduced electromedial skin responses and distress to cues and slides shown to them indicate a subnormal response. It's sort of like they did this experiment a long time ago where they had six subjects. And the subjects were basically treated to electroshock therapy, even though there was one room that actually gave the shock and the other room, which was a placebo kind of thing. And so after that, they said, well, we're going to turn this so high. I think they turned it to 180 volts or something like that, which could basically kill you.
Right.
And they said, oh, yes, we're not going to kill you, but we're going to sort of, well, shock you into submission.
Right.
And so the voltage got higher. I mean, if you put a psychopath in chair, he'd be one of the test patterns that was, give me more, you know?
Right, I could only imagine that whole, like, actually, I'm going about doing it because it's just
I know me. I can't. It's like, no. No. I don't like pain, nor will I ever. It's like test subjects. I'm doing it, and but having people going through it, I give those people a lot of credit. Especially when even though there's a placebo effect, but people could still think that it's happening too. Because they think they're in shock, they'll react.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's good that people can't, it's the whole sensory, when people can't do anything, all that leads to some issue. Potential issue.
Well, yeah.
So.
I mean, the funny thing about psychopaths is that you have this sort of thing that, I guess you have the sort of thing that it's, you know, and then what makes a sociopath? Well, somebody who lies, cheats, steals. But isn't that everybody?
Yes and no. I would say more no, but there are people out there like that. So, anything possible?
Well, yeah, sort of.
Everyone is like that either. There's a difference between having someone actually, like, it's the whole... It's like you can't just think that you're not going to have issues, and you'll have them if you don't. If people don't understand, and
well, people not understanding, it's kind of like, I guess. Being the last one.
I think you said it right. I think it's, yeah, I know I said the wrong thing. Sorry.
What did you say?
About not understanding that sort of thing.
Well, it's not completely the wrong thing. You know, the male psychopaths and then the female psychopaths.
Uh-huh.
Female psychopaths, going back to the nature and nurture thing, is kind of like an enigma because, you know, there's Cordelia Bogan, Candy for My Sweetheart, which she was an estranged wife of a prominent businessman from San Francisco. In the last decade of the 19th century, she was 40 years old, and she met John Dunning on his bicycle broke down, and Botkin made very obviously sexual advances, and consequently Dunning, who was married to a former congressman's daughter, entered into a torrid affair with her, and he eventually left his wife and fell in love with a gambling sex and alcoholism fueled and financed by Bogdan. He eventually decided to end the affair, returning to his wife, which informed Bogdan, not wanting to be left alone, she sent a box of poisoned candies.
Crazy?
To Dunning's wife and made them look like a gift from a friend, and Dunning's wife and five friends and family members ate the chocolate for recovering, but his wife and sister died.
Yeah. Wow. I'm off the word.
Why are you lost for words?
It's more or less the whole how far they go. And even though I studied the whole nature versus nurture, thinking of psychopaths, they take everything to extremes to the point of levels that are not common, that aren't normal. Sorry, having trouble speaking.
I wouldn't say normal. I would say what they do is they do sort of two things. They take everything to extreme. It's
that
heightened.
That's what I was trying to say. Yeah.
It's heightened. So you kind of see it is kind of it's kind of a thing where the extreme part of it takes over. They have no control over it.
Right.
Like, I couldn't imagine that Miss Bordkin had actually any control or knew what control was, kind of thing.
Right.
You know, being 41 years old, you're not quite loopy, but you're almost there. But, you know, then if we go down the list at number eight is Thomas Crean with I Am Jack. And so this Crean was a doctor that secretly specialized in abortions. He was born in Scotland, educated in London, active in Canada, and later in Chicago. In 1881, he found to be responsible for fatally poisoning his patients of both sexes. Originally, there was no suspicion of murder in these cases, but Crean himself demanded an examination of the bodies, and apparently, an attempt to draw an examination of the bodies and draw attention to himself imprisoned in the Illinois State Penitentiary in Joliet, Illinois. He was released on 31 July 1891. On good behavior, moving to London, he resumed killing mostly prostitutes and was soon arrested. He was hung on 15th of November 1892, and according to the hangman, his last words reported being "I am Jack," interpreted to mean "I am Jack the Ripper."
Right.
Now, he was allegedly in prison at the time of the Ripper's murders. But some authors have suggested that he could have bribed official and left prison before his official release. Which brings us to another Ripper, the French Ripper. The French Ripper was named Joseph Blanchard. And Joseph Blanchard was a French serial killer known as the French Ripper, due to his comparisons of the murderer Jack the Ripper, and he scarred his face
accordion in a plain white rabbit fur hat, which became his trademark appearance. During a 3 year, which is done during the during a 3 year period beginning in 1894, Valentia had murdered and mutilated at least 11 people, one woman, 5 teenage girls, and 5 teenage boys. Gosh, he was having a lot of sex. You know. With the 5 teenage girls and one woman. I think the 5 teenage boys were trying to have sex with the 5 teenage girls, and the one woman was trying to get after Joseph Valentia, but he's like, "You're too good, I'm going to kill you."
It's like, this is just crazy. It's not even...
Exactly. And then the analyzation of it is kind of, you know, interesting, because his victims were stabbed repeatedly, often disemboweled, raped, and then sodomized. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, they had some serious issues, and that we can know. I'm sure if they were alive, they probably would have been in a asylum of some sort.
Kind of.
Because they probably would not have, or they would be in prison if they weren't, if they were caught on that, yeah.
I mean, you know, working hard and flying right, kind of, you know, interesting.
Yeah, it is.
You know, with so many things, it is kind of ridiculous in the fact that, when you become a psychopath, you know,
it's something that ultimately they didn't grow up also in a way of, they also had a bad childhood along with seeing people get hurt. Could be very possible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but how crazy do you have to be to murder one woman, 6 teenage girls, you know?
Perhaps are those in my opinion, should be locked away. They shouldn't be left on the street. And when I remember in my area, there was a person who did multiple, forget who it was, he shot 30-some people in a town, like, half an hour away from me. So, yeah, it's crazy. It's like, and he, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he had,
was on that level of psychopath and those tendencies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's another, let's see. Then there was Leonardo Cintacuti, which is a soap maker. Yeah. Who is an Italian serial killer.
who turn their bodies into soap, which is probably the most disgusting.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Makes me afraid to take a bath.
That definitely ends up making people think when they're going to take a bath or do whatever. Using soap any time, and that, and this is wrong. It's so wrong. It's like, can you not? Could you not?
It's kind of. Oh my god.
It's like very awkward. Very awkward. This is more something
If I had a boyfriend, that's something that I would most likely be discussing.
I'm sure.
No, can't. Who should that?
Possibly. Taking a wild guess.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's kind of funny because, like, you don't really, I mean, the most notorious female psychopath, I mean, it's quite scary to slaughter the, and then there was a gorilla killer, which is a serial killer, Bella Kiss, who is a kiss of death, you know, and then, yeah, Bella Kiss, who is a kiss of death, he was a Hungarian serial killer. God, there's an ABC for everything, isn't there? He's thought to have murdered 24 women and then attempted to pickle them in giant metal drums that he kept on his property. He was a tinsmith near Sinkota, which is a town near Budapest, since 1900, and he was an amateur soldier and was fond of occult practices. And members of the communities, he was amassing a large number of metal drums, which he said he was filling with gasoline prepared for rationing for the First World War, in which was looming, which is okay, which he conscripted into the army and left town in early July 1916, Budapest police received a call from Skinka, a Skinka landlord, who found 7 large metal drums. The town constable had remembered Kiss's stockpile of gasoline and lending them to needy soldiers. Upon attempting to open the drum, there was a suspicious odor noted, and the detective chief, Charles Nagy, took over the investigation and opened one of the drums, and then discovered was the body of a strangled woman. The other drum yielded similar gruesome context, and such a kiss of his house resulted in 24 bodies.
Okay, wow, he definitely, that's
bad. Yeah. And then there was a secret room, and Kiss told him never to enter. And the room was filled with bookcases, but he also had a desk that had a number of letters of correspondence with 74 women and a photo album.
Probably as souvenirs for their, for the,
and the books were about poisoned or strangulation.
So he didn't keep a trophy case, or yeah, he kind of did.
Well,
he kind of did and he kind of didn't. Buffalo Bill at least kept, you know, put the lotion in the basket kind of thing, you know, up. And that kind of thing is kind of the most disgusting, you know.
Yeah, it's like, you don't know who could be.
Well,
you never know.
You know, it's easier than, say, doing, oh, yes, I'll have a formaldehyde, thank you very much.
Yeah.
You know. So we're at the half an hour mark. For those of you just tuning in, we are discussing the 10 different kinds of serial killers, both men and women. We discussed Cordelia Bodkin, Candy for My Sweetheart, which is the serial Candy for My Sweetheart, which is the serial candy murder mistress. The Thomas Cream, I Am Jack the Ripper, which is actually quite dandy. Then we talked about the French Ripper versus the English Ripper. Then we went down the Soap Maker of Coracotta, which is in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're on Bella Kiss, who was a psychopath of the worst kind. Now, before we can finish off the subject, there are the Half Brothers, America's first serial killers, who actually look like cavemen.
Oh,
I kid you not. I kid you not. They're dressed in furs and have ridiculously long beards and maybe need two scissors and a proper shave and a bath. But don't get washed by don't inform, you know, the soap mistress that you're actually taking a bath with, because she might want to boil your body and use it as making soap. About that.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, so what can we learn from the first ones? Well, the first ones, you know, Matilda Big Harp and Wiley Little Harp were outlaws who operated out of Tennessee, Kentucky, and Illinois in the late 18th century, and their crimes have been motivated more than by blood loss than financial gain, and some historians have called them the first true serial killers as young men. They lived with renegade Creek and Cherokee Indians who committed atrocities against both the white settlers and against their own tribes. By 1797, the Harps were living near Knoxville, Tennessee. However, they were both driven from town after being charged with stealing hogs and horses. They were also accused of murdering a man named Johnston, whose body was later found in a river and ripped open with weights and stones, and this became characteristic of Harp's murders. They butchered anyone in sight of under the slightest provocation, even babies, which is horrible.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, to end the story, at least the subject at 11:35, let's see, Baylor in Ohio
claims that Michael Hall even bashed his infant daughter's head into a tree because he consistently was annoyed at her crying. And then that would be the one crime that he would later confess to the general remorseful. And in July 1977, John Leather raised the pulpit of apostasy to avenge his murder of one of their victims, Mrs. Siegel, and reached the heart first and managed to shoot him, which decapitated Harp and set his head on a pole or pike at the location known as Harp's Head in Kentucky. Little Harp escaped but was eventually caught and executed by hanging by it up, and it says some of the Harps, most of whom changed their name to avoid by being scorned by their communities. What do you have to say to all of that?
I'm speechless. In all reality, I'm speechless. Because this is something that, as you go in depth with this, you honestly get blown away by everything that occurred. All hunky-dory when, in fact, it really isn't. It's like,
well, it is and it isn't, I think, you know. It isn't. You know, it isn't, and it's kind of, you know, these people, these people really kind of,
I know that's looking at the victims, like, what the victims had to go through, not anyone else. I'm looking at it from the victim's point of view. They got, like, I don't know, it's like, only, you know, from all, like, they, it's not, what they went through definitely, to me, reigns in and says, losing speechless, especially when it comes down to the psychological aspect, the profiling, how people even today who go on these rampages and become serial killers, there's a certain profile, and even just learning about the profiles, it's the whole, I'm amazed. Just to say, okay, yeah, these people have problems. They are not the most,
they're not the most stable people.
Yeah, stable being the word I was looking for, since I can't speak.
I mean, stable and kind of interesting in itself.
Yeah.
You know.
The stability is everything when it comes down to it. You can't just, when you're doing something, it's like, someone isn't stable, yeah, you're going to have problems occur. Yeah, you're going to have things occur that you probably don't want to occur.
Well, yeah, of course.
Comment. That's something that will bring, no matter will be, that will be affected. And
well, yeah.
Living. So, yeah, it's...
I mean, there's so many things, you know, many things. I mean, people say, oh, my life's a joke. Well, the next time they say, oh, yeah, my life's a joke. Well, you know, look. Look at these guys, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of, kind of stupid, you know. Say, oh, my life's pointless, I suck. You know. It's stupid. It's stupid. Don't ever say that. Because you don't know who might be watching or listening.
Uh-huh.
You never know.
Yep.
And then, in our last sort of 42 minutes, early in the podcast, we said, you know, which 10 jobs attract psychopaths? Well, I, Red Hood, sort of have a confession to make, and so did Allison.
No, not really.
Sort of, not really. The confession that I like to make is the number one thing that is most attractive to psychopaths is CEOs. Now, I have a confession to make. I'm a CEO. Yes, I'm guilty. I'm also in the media. I'm guilty again. I'm also a journalist. I'm firmly guilty. I'm guilty all over the place. You know, but at the same time, I'm a positive psychopath. You know, I do it for the fun. I'm also a creative artist. And, you know, it's kind of fun to see these people. But do you have anything to add to that, Ali?
I think I know with me that there's some jobs out there that, because looking at it, like, yes, people.
Could you see a beautician and stylist being a psychopath?
No, but there's always. Never know. You still never know. So I say you. It's the whole you don't know. You never know what people either. That's the thing. That's that's what really makes you really think. I'm saying, okay, yes, there's people out there that can have those tendencies, but it's not like, it's totally different. When I look at people doing what they're doing, sometimes I just look at their fault.
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
Take everything not at face value, not think that pretty much
What do you mean?
Just looking at whatever list is in front of me and saying there's potential for that. It's not a major thing.
I mean, it is kind of a major thing. But the major thing is that the major thing is that with this kind of thing in any psychopath, psychopaths are.
When I think of psychopath, I look at it as they're both a narcissist and they have the whole psychopathic tendencies as well. I'm just, that's what I think of it. It's the whole, okay, they have one, there's some similarities, not a lot between them.
Well, there are a lot of very, very, very crazy people out there.
Oh, yeah, not saying that. Not saying there isn't as well.
So. Oh, yeah, definitely.
More
it is kind of it's kind of the thing.
I know how you were saying life could be a lot when people complain saying things aren't easy for them. Life throws different challenges at them, too. So you can't just say, you can't just lie about, just assume that everyone's life is like a picture or something of that nature, too, when dealing with these kinds of issues and having people actually struggle and have their own issues as well. I'm talking about the average person, not the psychopaths. There's some people who, it could be taken as a dig to those who are actually, who are average and...
So I just
want to clarify that as well.
Exactly. I mean, you think about it, it's kind of one of those things that you are the either you are or you're not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's no in between. It's like black and white type of, it's a black and white scenario in a sense.
Absolutely. It's a black and white scenario in every sense of the word. You either are not or you are. You know? And I find that so many things today are psychopathic related. You know, it just never ends.
Yeah.
It never ends. never ends. You know, with 59 minutes to go, I mean, 50.
Shut up.
4 minutes to go.
Yeah, I know.
It is kind of, you know, on the subject. Jack, I mean, you know, we all know that we all know that psychopaths have been featured in movies and this, that, and the other thing for absurd things. But you never know. Psychopaths can be just around the corner. You know, they can be your next door neighbor. They can be, you know, your mailman. But I doubt that a mailman who wants to sort things is a psychopath.
I don't know. I just don't know. I don't see it. I honestly can't see mailman being. I want to sort your mail.
I know everything about you. What's your name and what's your address? That's personal information. You're sorting my personal information. Stop it.
It's like, are you, it's just, yeah, it's the whole, you are, it's like, yes, you might have tendencies like it, but you're not, it's the whole,
no, it's like, you're sorting through my personal information, stop it,
or it's no. The whole, it's like,
do you want me to stop doing my job, man? Yes. Yes,
like
even, you know, even, I mean, I recently turned 27, and one of my friends, God bless this person, and I'm not going to reveal their name, who brought me this, I mean, my favorite show of all time is Sherlock. And one night I spotted this poster and it said, I'm not a psychopath, I'm a high functioning sociopath. Do your research.
Which rings true. Yeah.
I mean, I'm neither, but you know, it's always fun to picture yourself as somebody who could sort out lists and things and other things, you know, in fast quantities.
Yeah, and just almost like a mentalist that you. I can
A mentalist is something different. You know, a mentalist is somebody who can go into the catacombs of your mind and make you do shit that you do not want to do.
True.
You know, like, if I say close your eyes right now and then go to sleep, and now.
Yeah, no.
And no, I'm not saying you. I'm saying everybody out there. Now go to sleep. Don't really go to sleep.
When I say this, it kind of becomes a bit of a challenge.
Well, it's exactly what they do, you know.
Right.
It's like go to sleep, and then now you're asleep. You are now going to walk like a zombie, text like a teenager, and act like a chicken.
That's hypnotism.
Well, it's also hypnotherapy as well. Or not hypnotherapy, the one that you suggested. It's also that as well. you know.
But they do some, but it's all the person's awake. Then it's the whole.
No,
week.
The person isn't just, awake.
No, no. Subconsciously they do it because it's more subconsciously.
Oh,
they are.
And
it's power of suggestion. Power of suggestion.
Wait, and you know this because?
I've seen a show that basically involved someone who was a mentalist, and they basically, it was a show on Bravo that one of the reality
shows. A show on Bravo?
Yes, yes.
Which show was this?
It was one of the matchmaking shows. There was the
someone
on that was a mentalist. So yeah, he basically, and he's a Vegas mentalist. He does shows and it's all part of suggestion and yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Well, it is 11:57. That means it's almost time for us to leave this planet. You know, and wish you good night. And tomorrow we start terrorizing Easter. Or is that?
Wednesday.
It's not time yet. It's not time yet.
No.
Oh, it's too early.
Yes.
Shit. Why?
I know you're itching to terrorize Easter. But just wait. Let the listeners stir and think of what we're plotting.
Exactly. We can't give it out, can we, Allison?
No,
we can't give it out. We cannot give this out.
It's too good, but it's just too good. That
it's too good, but you'll see in 2 days, you know.
There's 2 days of Easter, Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday we're off, and then Monday
we'll be back home.
Yes. So work on what you go. You can find us on
bitsmadeeurls.com/innocentfresh
and bye.
See you soon.